Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It's the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. You can get in on the action. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. What a week it was. Free agency. I don't want to say come and gone in the NFL. It's not totally over. We're still getting moves happening, including Cooper Kupp signing with the Seattle Seahawks. Tonight, it is a three-year deal. Chuck it up at about $45 million. Where did the eight come from? What possibly was I looking at or thinking to say the number eight? Cooper Kupp from Washington, went to school at Eastern Washington, and now he is back in Washington with the Seattle Seahawks. Again, you're looking at a contract initially reported at 3 years, $45 million. I'm sure there's some sort of out at the end of this and some guaranteed money. That's how it always goes. So Cooper Kupp signs with the Seahawks, and there's some more wide receivers that need to be signed. There's some other linemen and players on defense that will continue to be signed. But what are the big questions that are remaining, or what questions have we got answered at least a little bit when it comes to the teams that needed quarterbacks, or even the teams that didn't necessarily need one, but have now found themselves with a new one? Seattle being one of those teams. So as we look at where things stand after free agency, Seattle has brought in Cooper Kupp to essentially be the number two. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is in there as the number three. And we have given a lot of verbal love to Jake Bobo this week. And maybe he can claw his way back in there and be relevant as well. He's had some games where he's been an option for them in the past. But they went Sam Darnold. Okay, so we were trying to predict which quarterback was going to go where even a week ago. Geno Smith to the Raiders came out of left field. I believe that was a week ago today. And then that meant Sam Darnold found his way to Seattle. So I don't know that their receiver room is as good as last year. I don't think it is. I think Kupp is more along the lines of a Tyler Lockett replacement than he is a DK Metcalf replacement. Some of the heavy lifting might have to be done for Jackson Smith and Jigba to become the number one guy, if he wasn't already, but now there's not the help of having DK that teams focus on. So Seattle, thinking they've improved at quarterback, has the team overall outside of quarterback gotten better? And how's that going to affect Sam Darnold? So they needed to boost the wide receiver room. They needed to boost the offensive lineman position. They have boosted the receiver room a little bit, you could say, with Cooper Kupp. And now they might have to look and see if there's a veteran out there, maybe a guard or center on a kind of low prove-it deal. Or they could use one of the picks in the draft. They've got five picks in the top 92. You could find a guy or two there, including number 18 overall. So Sam Darnold in, is he going to have a better year? Are the Seahawks a better position team for him? I don't know that they are right now. I think that Sam Darnold, had he come back to Minnesota right now, I would expect him to have a better year in Minnesota than I would in Seattle. So we'll find out just how much and how good Sam Darnold really is. One of the moves that did not happen, could still, but at this point probably won't, is where will Kirk Cousins go? Because we're assuming that he was going to go somewhere. But right now, no, Kirk Cousins still the backup in Atlanta. They are paying him starter money, and they are paying Michael Penix Jr. on a rookie scale. I think one of the ways you could argue for that arrangement last year was, well, just say you're paying both guys, you know, $20 million. You're paying the quarterback room in total $40, $45 million. That's about fine. and you've got one guy that's a veteran and one guy that's a rookie. Who cares who's making more? You're just going to play the best one. Well, right now, the best option is Michael Penix Jr., and we thought that Kirk Cousins could get released. If he's on the roster through Sunday, they have to pay him $10 million guaranteed on the 2026 portion of his contract. So we thought he could be moved or at least cut. Being cut would bring with it some dead cap, but I think Atlanta enjoys having a backup option. Now, Kirk Cousins is going to have to be a willing soldier and a happy participant when he eventually gets beat out, if they're even going to open this up as a quarterback competition. I think once they made the move last year to Michael Penix Jr., he is the guy. But what happened after the season, all of a sudden Kirk Cousins is saying, oh no, I was hurt. Is he saying I was hurt because he was really hurt and he's trying to justify away some of the bad performances he had down the stretch, including, was it 5 weeks without a touchdown? Or is he trying to tell Atlanta, hey, what you think you saw of me last, that's not me. So I know you went to Michael Penix Jr., and I know he's the future, and I know you want to start him, but I'm going to be there in training camp. Don't forget about me as an option at starter. That could be an interesting thing if it plays out. Otherwise, they've got a trade chip if a quarterback goes down and somebody needs to get plucked off the market and perhaps nobody is walking around the shores of the beach waiting for that phone call because they may have already signed. I'm tiptoeing around saying Aaron Rodgers' name, but if I'm going to say it, I might as well just say it. I'm just not going to devote entire segments to Aaron Rodgers. But I would like to tell you about when I first realized Aaron Rodgers was kind of a weirdo. It was back in 2000 and... Just kidding. I kid. How about this one? A situation where we thought Kirk could go Cleveland. The Cleave. We thought they'd remake their whole quarterback room. Deshaun Watson's not going to play. And he's probably never going to play there again. And they maneuvered the money around and he's there, but he's not, but he's there. So they need to figure out what to do. So their move right now is trading for Kenny Pickett. Russell Wilson visited the other day. He's still out there. Right now, Kenny Pickett is your guy. They do have the number two overall pick. I still feel like they're going to draft somebody. I suppose there could be a trade. I'm putting my bet slip in that 1-2 goes quarterback. I understand, and we've talked about the potential of Shadur falling. I think Cam Ward to the Titans is going to get more obvious by the day in these next 5 weeks. I think that's how it will play out. Ultimately, there's going to be a quarterback at 2. There's a lot of quarterback needy teams, including a team that is already at number 2. And I think that's the way it will go down. And if they don't make another move, like I don't know. Are they less inclined to draft Shadur Sanders if they do acquire Kirk Cousins somehow? If they do sign Russell Wilson? I don't think so. We saw that last year. Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta, and then Michael Penix was drafted. Kenny Pickett is there, and he'll compete, sure, fine. But I really don't think he's a part of this equation. In terms of, I don't think whatever move they make, they're going to say, oh, well, what about Kenny? Or should we tell Kenny first? Or are we hindering Kenny? Same with the Steelers. They signed Mason Rudolph. I don't think they're in a position where it's like, okay, but Mason Rudolph's our guy. He's absolutely not their guy. He's their guy while they look for a guy. But I don't think that he right now is their guy. The Colts situation is interesting. We've talked about that a little bit this week. They want it to be an open competition for the job. I understand a little bit where the Colts might be coming from because they drafted Anthony Richardson as a project and they want to know if he's good or not. And Daniel Jones is about the perfect benchmark for that. If you can't beat out Daniel Jones, the Colts are still going to be comfortable enough starting Daniel Jones. But then also realizing our quarterback's not very good. Daniel Jones is not very good. So they brought in a quarterback essentially that they think Anthony Richardson can beat out. I would argue that having this quarterback competition might not be the best idea. I think the Colts are the one thing getting in the way of Anthony Richardson's development the most. I would still bring in a veteran to have in camp and have somebody that Richardson can talk to, befriend, be help from. But I would tell Anthony Richardson, I would hype him up. I would say, you're our guy. I would show him some tape of when he just was dominant, whether as a runner or a passer. I would reconvince him why we took him at number 4 2 years ago. I wouldn't be putting roadblocks in front of him. That I don't know if that's how everybody thinks. I think that might be a split take for a lot of people. That might be kind of right down the middle, even. But I did not like the Colts' move of signing Daniel Jones. Justin Fields with the Jets did pretty good for himself. Got cast away from the Bears for a late-round pick. Did not make that much money with the Steelers. And then was able to get a contract, 2 years, $40 million, which is essentially a one-year commitment for 30. And the Jets can reevaluate next offseason. He's going to wear number 7. And the Jets do pick at number 7. Could they take a quarterback at some point? What if Shadur falls? That'd be interesting. Now, at some point, I think they will take a quarterback, day 2, day 3. But if Shadur is there, that would be interesting to see what they would do. Justin Fields is going to get a shot, though. He's going to get a shot, I think, to be a starter and a long-term starter. Yeah, they can draft a quarterback. Fine. But Fields is still 26 years old. This is still young. We've seen enough quarterbacks that we wrote off. I just talked about a couple of them, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold. Just because your first stop isn't a success, and maybe your second stop isn't really either, that doesn't mean your career is over. So I'm interested to see how Justin Fields will end up doing with the Jets. Matt Stafford was a guy that we thought could go elsewhere. Raiders were interested. Giants interested. He ultimately chose to stay in Los Angeles, and then they decided, well, we're going to try to win a Super Bowl here. Getting Devontae Adams, upgrading from him over Cooper Kupp, I think was a good move for them. And we'll see what kind of layout the NFC West has to offer. But the Rams, who did re-sign Jimmy Garoppolo as well, at least do not have to start Jimmy Garoppolo. And then there are still the questions of the unsigned quarterbacks, Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Again, I don't think people should be waiting on Rodgers to make a decision. If you want to bring in Russell Wilson, bring in Russell Wilson. He might be better than Rodgers is going to be anyway. I would still like to see the Steelers bring Russell Wilson back. I actually think that makes sense. Reuniting with DK Metcalf. DK played with Russell the first couple of years. So I think that is still a good idea. He visited the Giants today. He visited the Browns yesterday. Carlos, what was it around Giants camp? Were people waiting to see if there was a contract being offered? Were they relieved when he left? Do they not care? What are we thinking in New York?
Nope, it's literally just doing their due diligence. They want Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson is strictly the backup option. They're like, all right, we'll sign Russell if Rodgers decides to spurn us to Minnesota or Pittsburgh, whatever. But the full inkling is that they're all in on Rodgers, which, okay, tells you everything you need to know about this franchise.
What about the draft? Don't we have an option of?
Well, you know what they did, and then they had to beat Indianapolis. They had to get that culture-defining win against the Colts. They just had to. So now they're at the mercy of the other two teams. Or, you know, ask one of them to move up when you could have had it for nothing, because that's what good franchises do.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think he's going to – I don't think he signs before the draft. I don't think he wants to get Kirk Cousins, where you sign and then they draft a rookie. I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think he wants to be in that position. I don't think he wants to go through these camps. And I think I don't have a problem with that. You don't need, if you're going to sign Aaron Rodgers, you don't need him on March 14th. You really don't. Diana Russini, who we mentioned last hour, she told Pittsburgh Station 93.7 The Fan today, our friends out there, that her gut instinct is that Rodgers will end up with the Vikings. My gut instinct is that if Rodgers was wanted by the Vikings, Rodgers would be a Viking. That's what I feel there. So those are some questions regarding the quarterbacks, regarding the guys that are open. Of course, there's still the question of the number one overall pick with the Tennessee Titans. What might go on there? And there's another thing that happened, which we'll talk about a little bit, that happened this week, was the restructuring and re-signing and the extension for Josh Allen, where, yeah, he did not take as much money as he could have, but one thing he also didn't do is he didn't just, I don't want to say cost himself some money, because he did take less than the $60 million that Dak is getting per year, but he may have cost some other quarterbacks some money, because he did not reset the market. So we'll take a look at that and his decision in a little bit here as well. It is the Bart Winkler Show. 855-212-4227 is the phone number. 855-212-4227. We can take your calls throughout the night. We'll come on back with more here on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Just taking a... Hey, Big Ron, how's Aruba? Taking stock of where we're at after this week of free agency, specifically with the quarterbacks. And one guy that did make some news this past week, last weekend to be exact, was Josh Allen. So Josh Allen was making, you know, it was him and Patrick Mahomes making somewhere in the low 40s, while everybody else was jumping ahead of them, making $50 million, making $55 million, even Dak Prescott getting up to $60 million a year. The average annual value for Josh Allen's contract now, a six-year deal at $330 million, which is $55 million per year. Now, there's a bunch of guaranteed money in that, which is good, but it's the $55 million that has become like the number with quarterbacks. So here's where we're at now. Dak Prescott makes 60. Everybody's making 55, so the Cowboys gave him 60. They outbid themselves again. He's the oldest of any of these quarterbacks I'm going to mention at 32, but he's getting 60. I think Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. I do. I don't think he deserves to be the highest paid. At 55, you have Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. That makes sense. Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence. Tua's making 53. Jared Goff is making $51 million. Herbert, Lamar, 52. Lamar could renegotiate, not now, but I think next year, because there's going to be a big salary cap hit, and he can, I mean, he could be the guy that pushes things over $60 million. So Josh Allen, 6 years, $330 million. He had talked this week about when he knew that Buffalo was the place for him.
It was on my visit, my official visit, when I was over there, got snowed in. So I couldn't leave. I was visiting the Jets and the Giants that next day, but I didn't get out in time. And then I went to Barbill with a couple scouts. I think Chris Merrill. I can't remember who else was with us. But when I was just sitting there, I was just like, it just felt like home to me. It's kind of the only thing that I've ever known of, you know, small town feel where the people are great and the food's is just as great. So. Those were two big factors for me and not having a huge city of traffic and this and that. It's something I kind of feared, but I just think it's home for me.
He was born in a small town, Fresno County, California, kind of the outskirts of everything. He went to college in Wyoming, and then he went to Buffalo. And remember how that started. He got drafted in 2018 at pick number 7. And yeah, it was a good visit, but he was essentially told that he was going to pick number 5. That was the Denver Broncos. And John Elway saw a lot of himself and Josh Allen and wanted to bring him in. And for whatever reason, they went Bradley Chubb instead of Josh Allen. And now Allen's been with the Buffalo Bills for his entire career, and that will continue. Now, he could have probably taken a bigger contract. There's no reason why he couldn't have got up into the $60 million, like, and set a new benchmark, or even 60 and a half or whatever. You've seen guys at positions a lot where they don't, the money matters, but when they're signing, it's not always, I need this much money, as it is, I need $1 more than the previously highest paid guy at this position. That's what it is. But for Josh Allen, it wasn't about that, and he essentially took, as we're going to call it here, he took less money.
When you start getting these fairly big numbers throughout the entire league, it's weird to say this, but what's five more going to do for my life that I can't already do right now, right? So, like, it's not that crazy to me, right? Like, I live a pretty good life. Got a house, got a car, we're good. But I wasn't looking to absolutely kill them in every chance that I could. And I told my agent that I was like, hey, if this has any impact on the pack, or impact on the cap, I should say, let's figure out a way to not do that.
So it doesn't only help the Bills a little bit it does, but it might hurt the quarterback market. Right now you have Dak Prescott as the anomaly at 60 because Josh Allen signed in that $55 million range. $55 million per is the average annual. So who's next? Well, who's next is Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy had a pretty strong argument to get up to the $60 million. And say what you want about, like, where he ranks or whatever, but if you're looking at other guys that have $55 million, Brock Purdy can look at Jordan Love, Brock Purdy can look at Trevor Lawrence, and at least say, I'm more accomplished than those guys. I've gone further in the playoffs than those guys. I went to a Super Bowl. So if you're going to pay these guys $55 million based off of one playoff win, now, I've taken a team to a Super Bowl, I should at least be getting that. And if Josh Allen maybe took more, then maybe that does reset things a little bit. Where is Purdy going to fall? I'm still very curious to see. I can't think, just the way that it goes, it's less than 50. There's 10 quarterbacks right now making more than $50 million a year. And so if you're a guy that's up, and I think enough of you would think that Brock Purdy is a top 11 quarterback, well, then he should be making what everybody else, the contemporaries at his position, are making. I don't think he gets up to the $60 million that Dak had, and then I don't know when that would happen again. Lamar, like I mentioned, has got a few years left on the table, but they could work an extension with him. Jalen Hurts makes about $51 million, 4 years left. Could there be an extension at some point there? Super Bowl MVP. C.J. Stroud is eligible for an extension next offseason. He's got a couple playoff wins. He's got Offensive Rookie of the Year. He could have a big year in 2025, and Houston could lock that up and reward him. But I don't know when we're going to see a guy now. I mean, Lamar will probably match Dak. It's just a matter of how they work that out. But I think this Josh Allen, like, if Josh Allen signs for 60, Purdy maybe slips in at 55. But since Josh went for 55, and I know I've talked about Jordan, I don't know, maybe it didn't cost him, but I don't think Brock Purdy looked at this and was like, yay. It may not have hurt him, but I don't think that it helped him. So something interesting to watch as we move forward. Let's get to the phones, 855-212-4227. Trevor's in Niagara Falls. What's up, Trevor?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you, Bert. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's up? Talk about quarterbacks real quick. And I'm not going to ramble on because, you know, I'm one of those older guys that grew up with Josh.
You'll get there. You'll get there. Take your time.
I just went through surgery in my throat. So, yeah, you know, we had the Jim Kelly and, you know, Jim Kelly show when I was growing up. Not growing up, but. And then you had, it's just the point of the quarterbacks is like Josh Allen. He could have had more money than he wanted to, but he took less.
Yeah.
But the problem is with the backup quarterback I have with the Bills. Like, I love Mitch Trubisky, but I'd rather take Justin Fields as a backup for Josh Allen in the Bills this year.
Well, I mean, okay, that's all right. You didn't have $20 million for him as a backup. I would rather have Justin Fields over Mitch Trubisky too, but there was no realistic way that was going to happen, Trevor.
No, I understand with the salary cap, but it's just the point of if Josh Allen goes down in Buffalo, there's nothing left.
Well, and that's the. Yeah, Trevor, thanks for the call. That's how it is in a lot of spots. That's why you kind of just hope the guy doesn't get hurt. It's nice to prepare. Backup quarterbacks, I say, give me 4 weeks, go 2-2. That's the requirement. You're not going to have a top 15 guy as a backup quarterback. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying that Fields is that. The surgery med still lingering a little bit, perhaps. I had a really interesting point, and I completely lost it. That's a shame. Robert's in Annapolis. Robert.
Hey, voices. Well, I hadn't called the last couple nights, so I just wanted to call and tell you I'm not dead yet.
Good, thank God.
Wait, Trevor was feeling pretty good, wasn't he? Hey, after you promised not to mention Aaron Rodgers' name again, you just mentioned it about 5 or 6 times.
I don't know that I promised.
you said, I'm not mentioning it again tonight. Anyhow.
Starting now.
Hey, I want to compliment you guys on your segment last night, the AI, what is it, LLM, whatever that is. That reminded me, you know, at least younger callers or listeners think that's a new thing. Rod Serling wrote about, I don't know how many Twilight Zone episodes that dealt with that same topic. Several of them reminded me of you as you sort of got sucked into that thing.
I did.
You also mentioned that you want the Cavaliers and the Thunder in the NBA Finals. The best thing that could happen to the NBA is that the reigning champion Celtics play the Lakers with LeBron and Luka. I lost interest in the NBA 30 years ago. I would even watch that. And on your quarterback movement, you didn't mention.
Well, why? Cavs and Thunder would be better basketball.
It's cachet. The Celtics and the Lakers with LeBron and Luka versus the reigning champion. That's the only way to go. The NBA needs a little boost. Hey, in your quarterback movement, you didn't mention Kenny Pickett going to the Browns. Where's your Kenny Pickett caller? I thought he'd call in and tell you.
I talked about Kenny Pickett.
Oh, I didn't hear that one. But anyhow, I thought you're.
Yeah, it was the worst. I was so bored myself while talking about Kenny Pickett. That's probably the problem. You were like, God, this is boring. I was bored myself.
But don't you have a caller that calls in about Kenny Pickett from time to time?
Yeah, I think we might have.
That's about all I have, other than. Who knew that Barry in Boston was actually Kevin? I assume if he was a federal prisoner, he'd be Larry and Leavenworth. But thank you for taking my call, and I'll listen to the rest of the show. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, thank you, Robert, who I do believe is Robert. I couldn't know. I don't believe we've ever had a real person named Mike call. Mike is the go-to, like, I'm not giving my real name. You don't have to give your real name if you call. I'm hit or miss sometimes with giving my real name, like, at a restaurant. You know, like a quick, like, coffee shop or something. What's your name? Because I say Bart, and then they say Mark. So sometimes I just go with the Mike. But then I pay with a card that says Bart. And then I feel like that, I don't know, it just feels very illegal. Anyway, you're safe to do it here if you choose. I remember. Trevor had talked about he remembers Jim Kelly. And I thought, you know, Jim Kelly signed a 6-year extension once. He had his rookie contract, and then he signed a 6-year extension in 1990. For 6 years, what did Josh Allen sign for? 330, 6 for 330. Jim Kelly signed 6 years for $18 million. Total. Josh Allen's making three times as much in 1 year as Jim Kelly did over 6 years. And, you know, you talk about these guys and they see contracts given out and all this stuff. And you get mad when somebody else is making more than you. Man, if I was an athlete that played in the 90s, that's like the most mad that I would be. Especially the NFL, where it was long before. I mean, I grew up thinking concussions were cool. I got a concussion once in a soccer game, and I was, like, thrilled about it. Oh, I didn't remember anything. That's so cool. It was cool. If my kid had a concussion now, I'd be beside myself. And it was more dangerous back then. And the success of the sport helped pave the way for how great and viewed it is now. And there they just got nothing compared to what they're getting now. Like, okay, $3 million a year. Who amongst us wouldn't take $3 million a year? But when the guy is doing the same thing you did, just happens to be 30 years later for $52 million more a year. You're like, well, that's stupid. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Let's get an update here. Once again, is Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. It was a blowout in the Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Chiefs. This just in, one of the members of that Super Bowl winning team for the Philadelphia Eagles, he was signed on a 1-year deal. Mekhi Becton has just signed another contract with the LA Chargers. So Mekhi Becton was drafted by the Jets as a tackle. He was the 11th overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. He had a knee injury in season number 2 and then did not play in season number 3. Started the whole year, played in his 4th season, and then the Jets did not pick up the option on him. And he signed with the Eagles. And he wasn't going to start a tackle, so they said, you can move to guard. And then he moved to guard and he started 15 games at right guard. So the Chargers are signing him. Now, their right tackle is first-round pick last year, Joe Alt. So I don't think Mekhi is going back to the tackle position, but he would slot in pretty nicely at right guard. Mekhi Becton, former Jet, Super Bowl-winning champ with the Eagles. He is now an L.A. Charger. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. 888-729-4227. Let's get out to Oregon and talk to Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Bart. How's it going? Great show, man. I just want to make a quick comment about the Steelers. I'm a longtime Steel Curtain fan. I am definitely not down with Aaron Rodgers. He is a bad, not a Steeler. Definitely not a Steeler. And the best thing they ever did was re-sign Mason Rudolph. He's finally going to get his chance. We should have won that game against Buffalo, but our defense couldn't stop the run.
In the playoffs?
Yeah. He was bringing us back, and our defense could not stop the run.
Yeah, all right. Well, he's got an opportunity now.
He put Aaron Rodgers back there. Our offensive line is still not solidified, so it's not going to help him any, and our run, we still can't stop the run. That's my opinion. The other comment I have is the greatest basketball movie ever made was The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, and I will let you go from there and listen to your response on the radio. Thank you very much for your time.
Sean, thank you. I remember watching that movie when I was very young, and I don't remember anything about it. The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. IMDb gives it a 5.3 rating over 10. You can currently stream it on Apple TV, Google Play Movies, and Fandango at Home. Fandango at Home. You know, speaking of streaming, I'm going to bring this up. I think this is very localized to me, but I'm going to bring this up. Do you know who Sam Decker is? Is that a name that is familiar to people? You know Sam Decker? Okay. He played college ball at Wisconsin, and then he played a little bit in the NBA, bounced around. And I think he's playing in England right now. Or he played in England. But he tweeted today something that made me so mad. It made me so mad. He tweeted, with YouTube TV being $85 to $100 per month, I need a new solution. I watch some NBA, MLB, and some live news at times, NHL playoffs and NFL games. Point me to where I need to go. Talking bang for buck. Need some real TV heads helping me out. So he's looking for, it sounds like, a service that can get him sports and live news at times. There actually is a service that provides that. It's called cable. We could all line up from corner of the earth to corner of the earth and the last one who has cable still in their home wins. I would win. I will never get rid of cable. I would rather starve or go down to one meal a day or save on my water bill, not shower for a week at a time. The last expense I'm getting rid of is cable. I think what happened was some of these other streamers came and we thought, hey, I can still watch my stuff without cable. And that was very entertaining and enticing. But just like when new things come and they get you in with the low price, eventually they jack up to the price that was the thing you wanted to begin with. The best restaurant on the block has always been cable TV. You can get a Netflix and a Hulu as like a treat. Or like a Peacock or a Paramount Plus as a treat. But you can't beat cable. Yeah, I want live. You know what I watched today? I watched live news. I watched some college basketball. And then I, like, during a commercial, scrolled through the guide for a little bit and found an old episode of Seinfeld that I watched a few minutes of. I didn't watch the whole thing. A commercial came on and I flipped right back to college basketball. And I couldn't be happier. And I've never left it. and I never will. So, Sam, the answer is cable. You want to watch sports and live news and entertainment? The answer today, as it's always been, is cable. Cable NBA TV product ruining game. Headline coming up.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.